I'm in good spirits, not just because of the rain that is so needed here, but also to be back with you all after two Sundays gone. The two Sundays ago, I was sick, and then last week, I kind of had what I felt was my Central District Conference week, attending our church annual meeting in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then driving and arriving late Saturday night at Camp Friedenswald, the camp connected to our church conference that our church conference supports, where I was the camp pastor with about 70 rising third and fourth graders this past week. And I got back and needed to do a lot of laundry and recovering, and my energy levels aren't what they were when I was in elementary school. And I think there was a lot of kiddos sleeping on their rides back home too. The theme we used this past week at camp was walking in wonder. And even though none of you were with me in Michigan this past week, I know that there's many of you here for whom camp, church camp in particular, has been an important part of your own faith journey. And I'm curious if you'd be willing to raise your hand if that has been true for you. Have you been to a camp that's played some role in your formation? Okay, a few campers. Anyone else just like to camp, not connected to church? Be outside. Okay, I like those folks too. Yes. I kind of see going to church camp as the Protestant version of trying out the monastic life for a week or so and living by the rhythm of the bell, patterning one's life and community around common worship and work and play and rest. And even though in the U.S., the whole Christian church camp phenomenon is a modern thing, Mennonites and lots of other denominations were planting and founding camps like this all throughout the 20th century. Ideas of retreat and forming an alternative community of God in close proximity to creation, I believe, are as old as the people of Israel's freedom journey through the wilderness and as old as Jesus retreating to the mountains to pray. So I want to share a few reflections with you from this past week. Some wonderings I had while walking in wonder at Camp Friedenswald. Practicing wonder is a radical act in our age of anxiety. It's a radical act in our age of anxiety to wonder. I was moved to witness a week in the community of camp away from the screens, where no staff and no camper had an iPhone in their pocket or a laptop waiting at their desk to fill out one more assessment to prove their worth at the end of the year. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he's talking to a crowd and all of them are gathered outside. And I think that matters. Jesus tells them, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. And maybe Jesus had his lesson already prepared. Maybe he'd been kind of working on this mentally in his mind before he had this crowd gathered around him. But I like to imagine that Jesus was moved in that moment by the beauty he saw around him, the beauty of the people and the beauty of the rest of the created world. Moved by wonder, I imagine Jesus pointing to the very grass the folks were sitting on, and those flowers that were sprouting up at the edges of the field, and the birds that were flitting around and chirping in the sky. God's sustenance of creation becomes an invitation to wonder and to trust in how God sustains us. At camp this past week, the campers and staff and adults, we all practiced putting our wonder glasses on. We didn't walk around like this all week, but putting our wonder glasses on metaphorically and going on wonder walks. We looked attentively, following Jesus, at the birds, at the grasses, at the trees, at the flowers, at the soil, and all the living creatures around us. This kind of wonder came easily to the kids. They spotted ripening wild blackberries. They looked with magnifying glasses at these teeny bees that were pollinating prairie flowers. They dipped nets in the boggy fen, this kind of Michigan wetland that was a new thing for me. to glimpse these wriggling macro invertebrates. They hugged the craggy bark of old trees, and they felt with their fingers the smooth or jagged edges of leaves and stooped to peer underneath the leaves to see the eggs the insects had laid there. Glimpsing the groundhog's frenetic scampering, or the sandhill crane's gangly prehistoric flapping, or the owl's haunting hoot, or the swan's gentle gliding became invitations for them to wonder. Who among you, by worrying, can add a single day to your life? Jesus asked the crowd. As attentive noticing and curious prayerful wondering at the beauty and mystery of creation that we're a part of is an antidote to endless preoccupation with the troubles of tomorrow. Wonder isn't just some kind of self-help hack, but it's a radically prayerful practice that attunes us to the interdependence we have with all of God's creation. My second observation is that wonder, this practice of curiosity, is something that opens us up to the feeling of awe. Wondering in the way of Jesus isn't just seeking more information about things. One camper described this difference as, and he said, knowing about a tree is looking at the tree and just seeing a tree. Wonder is looking at the tree and wondering about all the other creatures that might live in and alongside the tree. Wonder asks questions that can't be readily, if ever, answered. How do I know when Jesus is giving me wonder or courage? A camper asked me. How would you respond? The psychologist and researcher Dasher Keltner defines wonder as the mental state of curiosity that leads to the experience of being in awe. And he describes awe as this emotion we feel in the face of vast mysteries we don't understand, like God. One camper said that awe was that scary but amazing feeling of jumping off a dock for the very first time into a cold lake they'd never jumped in before coming to camp. A group of campers that was sent out on a scavenger hunt were left awestruck when they saw the remnants of a dead bird, now a scattered pile of feathers, left behind, picked over by a scavenger. Awe sometimes has a twinge, or even more than a twinge, of scariness, of fear, because we feel a profound awareness of a mystery that is bigger than ourselves. Peter is in awe of the stormy lake when he sees Jesus mysteriously walking towards him on the water, and when Jesus bids him to come and walk out to him. My final thought is that following Jesus by walking in wonder and opening ourselves to awe gives us a kind of courage. Wonder isn't an accessory or an add-on to the life of discipleship, but it's a posture that helps us live bravely, that helps us bravely follow Jesus. This past Tuesday, the temperatures, like I imagine they were here in Durham too, had already hit the mid-90s by the time our daily mid-morning wonder walk was supposed to take place. And the campers were supposed to head out in groups after I'd done some input and Bible time to explore the oak savanna and the prairie grasses with magnifying glasses. But because of the high heat and humidity, the kids and the counselors were dragging. They were moving slowly. They were sitting in the shade and sipping out of their water bottles. It's really hard to be curious when you're just trying to stay hydrated and survive. I overheard one camper complain to their counselor, "I didn't sign up for this." And they were right, because even if they and their parents had signed up for a week of camp and signed all the release forms, there's a sense in which we are all tossed into this world, a world we can't fully comprehend or ever sign a liability waiver to cover everything we're going to face. We're tossed into a world where we have a choice to worry or to wonder. We have the possibility before us, when the storm comes, to walk in awe towards Jesus or to sit in safety. We're able to walk in wonder because it is Jesus who calls out to us. Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. It took a whole lot of courage for the group of kids I saw to decide to go to camp. Kids who had just finished second or third grade, and for most of whom, it was their first time away from parents, multiple nights. I was in awe of how friendship and curiosity blossomed in this camp culture between people who had just met for the first time. I was in awe of how joyfully the campers entered into new rhythms of life and new songs and weird motions, how they looked at wonder at God's world around them. I was encouraged by Camp Friedenswald's institutional commitment to honoring Indigenous stories and voices that connected to the land that Friedenswald now stewards, and how this showed up even with kids and in signage and in education for staff. Of course, most of us can't live at camp permanently, even if we'd like to. The kids headed back home, and in not too many weeks, we'll return to new classrooms. I drove back to North Carolina. The volunteers working in the kitchen drove back to their homes. And the summer staff will leave at summer's end, and there'll be maybe a handful of year-round staff that remain. But the gift of a week at camp, living by the bell rather than the phone or the calendar, singing and doing actions and goofy skits and wearing funny hats, hopping in the lake, walking around unironically with our wonder glasses on or our magnifying glasses out, each day beginning and ending in story and song and prayer. I was reminded that this camp way of walking in wonder is a possibility for us to live all the time. Notice, pay attention. Don't be afraid. It's me. Come, says Jesus. He continues to invite us to walk in wonder, to open ourselves to awe, and to step out in courage. So may this coming week of regular life and all the weeks of your life, may God bless you with the courage to walk in wonder following Jesus. Amen.